Amen. Last week, I shared a word I entitled that was born again, and we went over a very familiar scripture in John 3. And we shared the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night and, you know, wanted to hear from him. And I had some questions, and Jesus just cut right to the heart, straight through, and say, hey, you must, anyone comes to God, he must be born again. And Nicodemus had a lot of questions. How can this happen? We talked about it last week. We shared about it was Nicodemus, and then Joseph of Arimathea was the one who got the body of Jesus down from the cross, and Nicodemus was there, and both of these men took Jesus to the tomb, wrapped his body. And we brought out and showed it real clearly last week that both of these guys were leaders of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council of the day. They were Pharisees, they were leaders, they were in the Sanhedrin. And so we can see that, you know, even among the most religious Jews that were making the decision to crucify him and turn him over to Pilate, even among these, there were many that believed. Okay, so I was bringing out the point that, you know, Jesus shared, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. We saw, you know, that they investigated the healing of a man, and it says real clear. Go back with me real quick to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And when they investigated the healing of this blind man, they were talking about it, and it created quite a division. It says in John 9, verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Now flip back over a verse we brought out also in John chapter 12, John 12, 42. It says, yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. So I just pointing out the fact that with Jesus coming, praise God, born of a virgin, walked this earth and did these signs and wonders, it created such a stir around that whole area that many were divided. There was a conflict. I want to tell you, church, it's still that way today. All around the world, there's conflict and division because of him, because many believe and were changed from the inside out, and many haven't believed, and they're not born again yet, so they have a different mindset. So there's a lot of conflict in the world today. Jesus came to bring peace, as you see, all of these have been reconciled, making peace with God through their faith in Christ. But in the world, you won't have peace, you'll have division. Okay, so I want to bring that out again. So praise the Lord. And there's conflict in hearts and minds of people wondering, because where truth comes, light shines in a darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand it. So there's a conflict. When you preach the gospel, when you graduates go home and you talk about Christ and want to go to church and want to carry your Bible and want to, hey, it might create some conflict in your family because some want to believe and follow and some don't. Okay, but be aware of this and don't be afraid of it. Recognize that there was conflict in his day. All right, so many didn't see it. Now look at this with me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 51. We're talking about being born again and the changes that take place. A radical transformation. This is the essence of Christianity. It's about not behavior modification. Our program, Fresh Start, for you families that have come, we're not about changing the behavior of your son or daughter through teaching them right and wrong and how to live better. That's not what it's about. It's not about behavior modification. It's about a heart transformation. It's about not getting them in a mold to follow religious rules of do's and don'ts. It's about receiving the love of Christ and being transformed from the inside out, being born again. Amen? See, it's a supernatural mystery. It's a mystery that goes beyond human reason or understanding. Nicodemus, one of the most learned religious men as a leader of the Jews, came to Jesus at night and started asking questions. And Jesus said, hey, you must be born again. How can this be? Can a man go back into his mother's womb? Hey, Jesus said, look, you're one of the leaders of Israel and you can't understand. Look, the wind blows where it will and you can't see where it's coming from or where it's going, yet it's blowing. The same thing is with the Spirit. You can't reason it all with your intellect. It's a supernatural mystery. To be born again, to come to Christ and recognize that we're lost and we're undone and sinner, and it's not a change of behavior I need. Lord Jesus, change me from the inside out. I'm finally bowing my heart, my knee to you, recognizing through all the religious do's and don'ts, through the law, through everything I've been through, I finally come to grips with the problem is inside of me. And I need you to change me from within. Lord, save me. That's when we're born again. And when we're born again, there's a transformation, a regeneration that takes place on the inside. You are born from above. You were born from the earth. That's why he said, look, Nicodemus, you don't understand. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. Folks, I left you last week with the idea to meditate on this thought that we're born again. We have an intellectual knowledge sometimes, and we understand, and we think about some scripture, but sometimes we fail to really meditate and let that become a part of us. Hey, I was born from my mother and father. I was a human being on this earth, but now in Christ, I have been born again, born from above. It's more than just a human existence. Now the Spirit of God, supernatural Spirit of God, lives inside of me. There's a change that have taken place, so much so, it's such a radical change on the inside that I'm going to live forever now, and the kingdom of God has come to the earth and lives in me. I've been born again, supernaturally. It's a mystery to our minds. But yet he wants us to see it that way. He wants us to understand and have that understanding continue to open up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all the way to verse 51 says this, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Says the same thing Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you're not getting this. It's not a physical thing. To be born again, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit to spirit. It's a supernatural mystery, okay, that your mind can't quite comprehend. Now, what goes on to say, follow me in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Flesh, I declare to you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. Everybody say mystery. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying will be written, come true. The saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. So it's talking about, hey, this mystery of being born again, it's going to continue, the Bible says, with the rapture, shows another part of that mystery. When Jesus calls us, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, we will put on more immortality. We will come, and those come out of the grave, what's perishable, what has our bodies has decomposed, will put on what's imperishable. Jesus Christ, the risen body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked through the wall. He was no longer, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's nothing perishable. His life, his sinless, perfect life, hallelujah, now risen from the dead, the first of many brethren, hallelujah, who will also rise from the dead, imperishable. Praise God, it's a mystery to our intellect, but praise God, I want to tell you, if you're born again spiritually, it has already happened, and one day you're going to get an immortal body to go along with your immortal spirit. Are you with me? But I want you to focus today, that immortality of your spirit, if you're born again, has already happened, and that's who you really are. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
But praise God, you have been born again. You're born from above. Go back with me to our text from last week. John chapter 3. John 3, he was talking about us being born again. We started in verse 3. Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." It's not about being a sinner and then coming to religion and coming to a denomination and coming to a church and starting to quit some bad habits and put on some good habits and starting to be a better sinner. You can't see the kingdom of God. You start working out things where you're getting off drugs and you're quitting this and you're getting married and you're trying to do better and now you're living as a good citizen. You were born of the flesh. Now you're still of the flesh. You're still born and you've not been born again and now you're just doing better, looking better. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You must be born again. We must come to the realization that it's not about changing behavior. It's about a heart transformation that only comes supernaturally, church. It comes supernaturally when we recognize no matter how good I try to do or how many rehabs I've been to or how many times I'm doing better now, I haven't gotten prison, I've gotten a button that says I've been sober 6 months, 9 months. It's not about how long you're doing well. None of our goodness can get us there. It's only His. It's only Jesus. I can't do this. Only by my faith in you. He came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children, not born of a human decision, not born of a flesh, but born from above.
Yes, sir.
You were born of a father and mother's decision, whether they intended for you or not. It happened. And you were born of the flesh. But when we recognize we can't make it, give our life to Christ, it says you are born from above, spiritually reborn, a new creature, a new creation in Christ, totally changed from within. I want us to meditate. We're thinking, I'm preaching it again. We're hearing it again. We're starting to understand. And I want us to look and walk outside these doors knowing, you know what? I'm not just a mere man. I'm a person, but I've been born from above. It's supernatural. Now the God who created heaven and earth now dwells in me. Now my body is a temple of the living God. It's a mystery that the world can't understand. But we're like a different species of people. You have the people born of the world, the flesh, and you have people born above, born from above, born of the kingdom that have God living in us. I want you, God wants you to see yourself that way. When you walk out these doors, when you're talking to your wife today, when you're handling your children, when you're going to work Monday morning, and everything you do, the kingdom of God is flowing through me. To see ourselves as born again, to see that word and have it open up for us more and more. John 3, 5, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit to spirit. You should not be surprised, he says in verse 7, at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus is still asking. How can this be? Questions come to our mind. I'm telling you, it's a supernatural mystery and we acquire it by faith. Hello? It's supernatural. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Ephesians 3 real quick. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 2. Praise the Lord. Surely you have heard at the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, Paul saying, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. I have already written briefly, verse 4. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Everybody say the mystery. The mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men or other generations, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6. This mystery, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together as one body. Wow. Guys, 2,000 years ago, this was a shocking revelation to all of these Jews. That's why Nicodemus had such trouble with it. For 3,000 years, the Jewish nation was God's holy people, chosen, Abraham chosen, Isaac, Jacob. They had the law. They had the covenant with God. And now this Jesus has come, and he's healing Gentile people, and he's preaching to sinners, and he's bringing in drug addicts to the church, and he's reaching out to the prostitutes, the lost, and he's hanging out with sinners. And they're like shocked. What is going on? He's breaking all the laws of Moses. He's not keeping the Sabbath. He's healing on this. And they did not understand. And the mystery, praise the Lord, is that through this Christ, we can be born again into the kingdom, both Jew and Gentile. It's no longer about a system of religion. It's about faith in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. And so all of us who recognize the religious and the not religious, all have sinned and come short of the glory. Whether how hard you follow in the system, whether you go into a church that's wearing their skirts this long or this short or this short, whether you're baptized in Jesus' name or this, it's not about all of that. It's about Jesus Christ and he died and rose again. And following him, there's only one truth. The Holy Spirit's leading us all who believe into one truth. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Flip there with me. Verse 25. Praise God. The Bible says, I have become its servant by the commission God has given me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Look at verse 26. There's that word is again. The mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Saints, you're living in a time where the mystery that was hidden for ages has now been revealed. And what is this mystery? To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is the glorious riches of this mystery? It tells us the next line, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This Christ we preach about, this Christ we celebrated Resurrection Morning, Easter Sunday, this Christ has come, praise God, the Word of God become flesh, dwelt among us, that we who believe in him are born again, and as we're born again, he lives in us. I'm walking this aisle.
Come on.
God's walking it with me.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Every step of the way.
Watch out. Me and God are walking down this aisle. Here's the mystery. I was a lost sinner. Jesus saved me.
Right.
Now he lives in me.
That's
and
right.
Everywhere I go, the kingdom of God goes.
That's right.
And everyone I touch, the kingdom of God touches.
That's
I'm no longer a sinner separated from God, but I've been reconciled to God by my faith in Christ. Now I'm dwelling and meditating on the idea that Christ lives in me, and where I go, he is.
Amen.
I can't keep saying, church, that I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. It's an insult to my God and my Christ who died and bled for me, that I wouldn't be a sinner, that he might fill me.
Oh, yeah.
I told you last week, quit opening up your prayer with 10 minutes of repenting of all your sin from your past that you've already repented of. Stop it. God doesn't want my child coming to talk to me and start talking about everything she's ever done wrong in life before I'll spend time with her. It's over. Jesus has done it. He's finished the work. Go to him with rejoicing and praise and sit in his lap and enjoy his presence. He lives in you. You have been made holy by your faith in Christ. He washed you by his blood so that he could fill you. And if you don't have his spirit, you're not his. But if you have his spirit, you can know that you've been washed completely, because he couldn't live in you if you haven't been cleansed. So if you're a Christian, we come with thanksgiving. We come with rejoicing. We dance and sing. Why? Because it's such good news. He's made us clean that he can live in us. Born again. Born again is a word that's been there all our life. But he wants you to focus on and say, I'm born again. I'm not the old person. I'm a new creation. When you go and you're going to the store, or your buddies are wanting you to do this and want to do that, I want you to have the mentality, wow, I used to hang out with those and do that. I used to go to this store and buy this. I used to watch this on my phone. I used to do this and this. But you know what? Like Pastor said, I believe the truth. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I got the kingdom of God in me. You need to meditate on it, because that will give you the victory of walking it out.
Yes.
Go into the church that's telling you how bad a filthy, rotten sinner are will not work. Oh, man, I love that revival preacher. Man, he stepped on everybody's toes. He made us all feel like sinners again. Man, everybody went to the altar and got saved again. Stop it, God says.
Stop.
Praise the Lord. Stop it, God says. We have the authority God's given us to preach and teach to pastors and leaders. Why? Because we know this truth. Told somebody this morning, we don't have time anymore to go to churches that's still involved in error. Time's short. We want the whole truth of his grace. Let me ask you questions as we're getting ready to close. So about being born again, if this is true, and we know that it is, if you are born of the flesh and then you come to Christ and you're born again, let me ask you a question. What is it that you can do that will cause you to be not born again? This is a very serious question. That there's so many religious out there mad at the truth of his grace, because they're looking in pinpoint and judgment and saying who's really born again and who's not, because of something they've done. If you're born again based on nothing you have done, but only what Christ has done, are you not born again? Are you kicked out of the family of God based on what you have done? Come on, think about it. There's guests here and visitors from different churches and stuff. I'm talking about all have sinned, fall short of the glory, and Jesus fixed the problem so we can now be born again from above. So we're walking from above as born again, new creations in Christ, and those in Adam are walking below with the kingdom of darkness inside of them. When we're born again by our faith, which sin, Christians, be the judge? Which sin would cause this person who believed and was born again, which one would you put them back down here and say they're not born again? Which one? Is there one? Let me ask you this. If you're born again and you go through some struggle and you're having trouble living up to what's inside of you, and that's real, okay? Are you now not born again? And the next revival, the evangelist preaches about your sin, you have to be born again, again? I'm asking you a question. Can a person be born again? Again, the title of this message is Born Again from last week. Today's message is Born Again to the mystery. And a specific question about it is, can you be born again again? Think about that in your minds, church. It has a lot of influence and the rest of what you think about Christianity. Because if a man can be born again, and then in his own weakness of this treasure in this earthen vessel. Come on, let me be honest with you. When you're born again, your spirit is born again. Your mind is not fixed yet. Okay? Your mind is not renewed yet. You can be born again of the Spirit and have this, but you have this treasure in this earthen vessel, and it takes a time and process of coming, growing in the Word, fellowshipping, becoming disciples to renew your mind to the truth of what your spirit has. We take part of these great and precious promises by hearing the Word and growing in it. I'm just throwing that question out for you to think about. Are we born again? And then we fall, make a mistake, and we're not born again. And then the next revival, we get convicted for our mistake, feel like we're filthy, rotten sinners, and we're born again again, and then we're not born again, and then we're in. Then we have to pray through and go through somewhere again and fall and again and again. Is that happening? Christ, who died for your sin to reconcile you to the world, by His grace, He saved you. Is His grace good enough to keep you?
Yes. Yes.
Does He want you to live blessed and holy?
Yes.
Most assuredly. The Bible says in 2 Peter, and we'll close with this, to add to your faith knowledge, to add from knowledge virtue, to add from virtue brotherly kindness, to add self-control. The Bible wants us as Christians to take this born-again experience inside of us and now renew our mind and let it overflow to our bodies where we're healthy, praise, growing in Him. And now, praise the Lord, what's in us, the kingdom of God, overflows to our mind. Now we're walking in who we really are because we have a renewed mind to it. And that's a process. Some would say, well, I see this person who says they're born again fall to this sin. Well, another see, they don't like that sin, it's bad. Another one sees them fall to this sin. So which one of you judge, which sin is it that causes them not to be your brother in Christ? The one you hate the most? What about the one you're dealing with?
Amen.
Does that one cause you to be not born again? Maybe this woman who got saved is still dealing with a cigarette or a wrong way of talking or thinking, and you want that change, so you're judging her as to maybe she's not a Christian. But what you don't realize is God is bigger and knows more than you. He's dealing with a heart where she was raped and abused at 8 through 11, and God's working on that heart, and he don't care about that cigarette yet. He wants to fix her heart first. And he's got lots of other processes he's fixing in her. And 4 years down the road, he might take the cigarette. So who are we to judge where our brothers are in the process of their own sanctification? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I have the answer to my own question. If any of y'all didn't, we'll make it easy for you. No one can be born again. Amen. You're born of the flesh once, and you're born again of the Spirit once. Can a born again believer backslide? Yes. Can that backslidden condition and sin they're involved in cut them up and have consequences? Yeah. Most definitely. Can someone up here who graduated years ago choose to go back and end up back in prison and back on drugs? We've seen it happen, yes. Does it nullify their salvation and what Christ has done? No. We've seen them come back out of prison, go back through the program again, get it right this time and live it out. But you didn't have to go through that long process of going back into sin. You didn't have to go. Will sin of adultery cause you to lose your marriage and lose your children? Yes. Can it cause all kind of problems with your body? There's consequences to sin. But if you believe Jesus Christ died and rose, his grace that saves you is his grace that can turn you around and get you back to the blessed life. Are you with me? Church, I know our members here who've been with me 10, 15, 20 years. They have this down in their heart and they're preaching it and teaching it. This is a basic elementary teaching of born again. But we need to continue to share it because it's the truth of the gospel. While I'm sitting here relaxing in who I am in Christ, I'm going to pray for you with my eyes open and my feet kicked out. Because I know who I am. I don't have to go through some religious motions. I'm not going to start off my prayer confessing all my sin. I'm going to start off my prayer with my daddy God, who I can boldly come to. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, I had fun today praising you for my salvation. Lord, I'm no longer dwelling on my sin or my past. It's so good. Lord, not only did you set my spirit free from sin, but Lord, you freed me from a guilty conscience. Father, I can honestly say now that I'm no longer even conscious of my old sin. I'm always conscious of my righteousness. Father, I pray that each and every born-again person here will become more and more conscious of their righteousness in you. Lord, when Satan points out their sin, let them turn around and just say, "Talk to the blood, devil." And keep on moving forward. Father, now I pray that each and every born and again person here will continue to grow in it, to renew their mind, so they can live out effectively what's in them, so they can be a witness to others. Lord, don't let us become ineffective or unproductive in our salvation. Lord, if anybody here is ineffective and unproductive, Lord, this message here is to remind them that they have been cleansed from their sin and to set their feet back on the right path to give you glory. Bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Hey, have a great day, guys. We love you.